Hello, I'm Mariette Snyman, a journalist devoted to uncovering new ways to understand ourselves, deepen our relationships, and strengthen our emotional well-being. Thank you for tuning into Calm, Clear, and Helpful, the weekly podcast series introducing you to wellness professionals offering their insights, expertise, and assistance. Today's topic is Achieving a Profound Understanding of Reality, the Seven Hermetic Principles. My guest is Liesl Thom, Master Life Transformation Coach, Journalist, and Metaphysical Minister and Teacher from Centurion. Welcome back on the show, Liesl.
Hello, Mariette. It's always good to join you.
Thank you. And to our listeners, I appreciate your joining us. I was wondering, do you ever ask questions such as, why are we here on this planet? Are there rules to this game we call life? If yes, I trust you'll find this episode thought-provoking, perhaps even provocative. Liesl, I've asked you so many times on all our recordings, but let me ask you again for those listeners who haven't heard any other recordings. Could you tell us about the work you do?
Mariette, I think over the years, my answer has also changed slightly.
Right, it has.
I am, at my core, like you, in the business of stories. So I am also a journalist. I also tell the stories of other people. But as a coach, and more specifically, as a metaphysical student, teacher, and minister, I help people to take the stories they tell themselves, about their lives, and redefine those stories and rewrite them. Because we were never taught that you have control over the thoughts in your head. And those thoughts create your reality. So I help people as a coach, as a metaphysical minister, I help people to reevaluate the stories they tell themselves and help them rewrite a narrative that feels better and brings more joy into their lives.
Yeah, and talking about rewriting a narrative, I think I'm going to experience a few mind shifts today because we're talking about the hermetic principles about which I know very little. Could you start by telling us what the hermetic principles are?
Mariette, the Hermetic Principles are a set of ancient philosophical sayings or axioms derived from the teachings of Hermes Trismegistus. Now, Hermes Trismegistus is a combination of the Greek god Hermes and the Egyptian god Thoth. So the Hermetic Principles are most famously outlined in a book called The Kybalion. They serve as a framework for understanding the universe, consciousness, and the connection between the mind and reality. Hermeticism shares the same foundational worldview as alchemy. Both are ancient systems of spiritual philosophy focused on the transformation and elevation of the human soul. They are deeply intertwined, with alchemy essentially serving as the practical applied branch of hermetic theory. And while traditionally alchemy is associated with turning physical lead into gold, we all have that picture in our mind of the alchemist in the dark cave. In a hermetic context, this idea is largely metaphorical. The base metal represents the flawed, unexamined, ignorant human soul, and the gold represents ultimate spiritual purity and enlightenment. So the Hermetic principles are 7 principles. You can also think of them as universal laws that apply to life, whether we are aware of them or not. And as you know, Mariette, ignorance of the law is no excuse.
Thank you for that clarity. And I was curious when you mentioned in our pre-talk that you have actually been practicing these Hermetic principles for years without using this exact terminology.
Mariette, I've always believed that we are capable of changing ourselves, our thoughts, and ultimately our reality, and that somewhere there's a recipe for that change. And that is what much of my work as a life transformation coach and metaphysical teacher is based on. Taking the proverbial lead and through the process of change, transforming it into gold, a life where we are at cause and not at the mercy of outside influences. I'm also a firm believer that we create our reality, or at least that our perception influences how we view reality, and that we have control over our perceptual filters, which determine what we experience. So when I came across these Hermetic principles for the first time, I truly felt that I have found the manual to this virtual reality we call life. In fact, I sometimes refer to these Hermetic principles as the rules of engagement for life.
I really enjoy that phrase, the rules of engagement. Now, here comes the big question. Why, in your view, are we here on this planet?
Mariette, as I grew and evolved, my answer to that question has also expanded and evolved. When I first started pondering this eternal question, the answer I arrived at was that we are here to serve. To serve God, or whatever label you want to use for the Creator, by serving each other, and that we are here to learn. I view life as kind of a school where we had a lesson plan, a curriculum, and as we learned the lessons in our individual lesson plans, we evolve and get more challenging lessons to learn. Very much the Hindu and Buddhist idea of samsara, the wheel of birth and rebirth. But then about 10 years ago, my teacher said to me that the reason we are on this planet is to experience. And at first, that didn't resonate with me. But as I thought about it and meditated upon it, I started to see the truth in that. We are eternal spirit beings having a temporary carnal experience. Spirit cannot vibrate low enough to have a physical experience. So we, as corporeal incarnations, as humans inside these bodies, we get the opportunity to have these experiences or experiences that our spirit bodies cannot have. I've since come to the conclusion that as we as humans have a divine spark within us, since we are all different expressions of the same light, through our combined experience as humanity, we are experiencing this realm on behalf of divinity itself. But Albert Einstein said, we are slowed down sound and light waves, a walking bundle of frequencies tuned into the cosmos. We are souls dressed up in sacred biochemical garments, and our bodies are the instruments through which our souls play their music. We are here to contribute to the symphony of existence.
Oh, I actually need to take a moment now to absorb all of that. It's so beautiful.
That is a bit of a mic drop, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Liesl, what can the seven hermetic principles teach us?
The seven hermetic principles teach us how to master our minds and shape our realities. They reveal that the universe operates on unseen laws of energy, vibration, and cause, empowering us to consciously direct our thoughts, emotions, and personal growth.
Could you name the seven principles and then discuss each, please?
Okay, Mariette, I'm just going to name them first.
Okay.
The first principle is mentalism, and I'll explain what that is as we go along. The second principle is correspondence. Third principle, vibration. Then comes the principle of polarity. After polarity comes the principle of rhythm. Then the principle of cause and effect. And lastly, probably the most misunderstood principle, the principle of gender. So let me walk you through them one by one. Firstly, the principle of mentalism. The Kybalion says, the all is mind. The universe is mental. Everything that exists in this reality started with a thought. Think about it, Mariette. You can think about anything. Let's take the chair you're sitting on or the devices we are using to have this conversation. They all started as a thought in someone's mind. We have to understand that our thoughts create. Everything in existence stems from a single universal consciousness. The all is mind. And because the universe is fundamentally a mental construct, your thoughts, beliefs, and perceptions literally shape your reality. How can we use the principle of mentalism? Focus on mastering your mindset. By actively directing your thoughts and intentions, you can influence and you can change your physical reality. The next principle, correspondence. And the quote from the Kybalion year is, as above, so below. As below, so above. And then some people, of course, add, as within, so without. And that is very indicative of the mirror effect we see in our lives. There's a direct harmony and parallel between different planes of existence, the physical, the mental, and the spiritual. The macrocosm is reflected in the microcosm. This principle is easily understood when you think of the impact your physical environment has on you. If your office or your house is unorganized and crammed full of old documents or broken objects, your mind and emotions are also likely to be all over the place and unorganized. Your external reality is a reflection of your internal, very often unconscious, thoughts, beliefs, and emotions. It's a mirror. if you don't like what you see, you don't attack the mirror, you change the source. So how to use this principle? Look within to understand the world around you. If you want to change your external circumstances, you must first change the corresponding internal patterns in your own mind and character. And that's a tough one, Marie. We want other people to change. That's not how it works. We want life to change. That's not how it works. If you want the image in the mirror to smile at you, you have to smile first. The mirror is not going to give you a smile out of its own accord. You are the cause. So the third principle is the principle of vibration. And the quote from the Kybalion is, nothing rests. Everything moves. Everything vibrates. This principle states that everything in the universe is in constant motion and emits energy at specific frequencies. And this includes physical objects, thoughts, and emotions. Everything is energy. At the atomic level, all physical matter is in constant state of motion. Even stationary objects vibrate. I mean, we taught this in school. The rate of vibration is called a frequency. High-speed vibrations are considered higher frequencies, while slower ones are lower frequencies. And those frequencies determine reality. The principle of vibration is the foundation of what we know today as the law of attraction. It suggests that like attracts like, meaning your internal state of consciousness draws in experiences, people, or circumstances that share the same vibrational frequency. How to use the principle of vibration? Your thoughts and emotions have their own frequencies. By controlling your mental and emotional state, you can raise your vibration to attract or align with more positive experiences. Fourth principle, the principle of polarity, from the Kybalion, says everything is dual. Everything has poles. Everything has its pair of opposites. Concepts rely on each other for context. You cannot understand joy without experiencing sorrow, or bravery without fear. For any concept to exist in this reality, it has to be framed by an opposite. We can only truly appreciate health because of disease. Light is made manifest by darkness. Opposites are identical in nature, but differ in degree. And to illustrate this, think of hot and cold. They're the same phenomenon. They're both temperatures, but they are on opposite sides of the spectrum. So how do we use the principle of polarity? When you understand that everything is on the same spectrum as its opposite, you can intentionally transmute a negative emotion, like let's use hate, for example, into its positive counterpart, love, by changing its degree of vibration. And that is where the alchemy comes in, that transmutation process of changing one concept, moving on the sliding scale to the opposite whole. The fifth principle, rhythm. The Bible says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And the Kybalion echoes this. Everything flows out and in. Everything has its tides. All things rise and fall. Now, Maria, by this time, I think we all have seen enough evidence to know that life operates in cycles and patterns. There's always a backward and a forward movement, a pendulum swing between extremes. The principle of rhythm tells us that everything is always in ceaseless motion and behaves in a tide-like ebb and flow. A pendulum-like movement from action to reaction, from advance to retreat, a rising and a sinking, a birth and a death, a beginning and an end, and so on and so forth. We as humans today don't want this. We want the pendulum to stay stuck in the positive, fun, good side. And you know what? That's not going to happen. That's not how life works. So how do we use this principle of rhythm? Learn to navigate the natural ebbs and flow of life rather than fighting them. Mariette, if you think of your breath as the in-breath and the out-breath, the ebb and the flow, you cannot breathe in and think, I'm going to stay here forever because I don't want that pendulum to swing. You're going to die. You're going to suffocate. We have to breathe out. So by staying mentally balanced, you can neutralize the negative impacts of life's downward swings. They come in. You can't prevent them. You know, there's a saying that pain is inevitable. Suffering is optional. Suffering is our thoughts about the pain. The negative swing is coming. Know that. Be prepared for it. Do what you can to mitigate it. Divorce your state of being from your state of mind, your emotions, and know, whether good or bad, that age-old adage, this too shall pass. So when it's good, appreciate it. Suck the marrow out of it. When it's bad, know that this too shall pass and that you have everything within you to endure.
A quick note on what I do. In my 30 years as a journalist, I've seen how often people seeking health and wellness support feel unsure where to turn for providers who truly resonate with them. Through my articles and podcasts, I aim to offer reliable information while introducing audiences to trusted practitioners and resources. My platform, marietsneeman.co.za, brings together insights from more than 160 experts on physical and mental health, relationships, and parenting. You're welcome to use the search function or browse the site for relevant information. In fact, you can stream or download any podcast right there on my website, or listen to Calm, Clear and Helpful on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and other platforms. If you're a wellness provider keen on expanding your reach and credibility, let's talk about co-creating a podcast or article, or perhaps featuring you in a South African magazine. I offer a clearly structured process and journalistic insight to help you connect deeply with your audience. If you happen to be a first-time podcast guest, you'll feel prepared before we press record. You'll find more information under Services on my website, or simply send an email to mariette@mariettesneeman.co.za. Now, let's get back to my guest.
So the sixth principle is cause and effect. Kybalion reads, every cause has its effect. Every effect has its cause. Nothing happens by chance. Every action or thought you put into motion generates a corresponding result. On a practical level, cause and effect means that events are not isolated. A thought becomes a pattern of action. Repeated actions shape character. Character shapes circumstances. Causes operate on many levels, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual, and their interplay produces complex outcomes. A chance meeting might be the result of a long sequence of small choices where you decided to live, the habits that brought you to a specific place, the mood that made you say hello to that stranger. What looks accidental is often the visible tip of a hidden iceberg, one strand in the web of life. Now, this principle should not be read as fatalism. Recognizing lawful sequence gives us power. If effects follow causes, then to change effects, you alter the cause. Instead of waiting for destiny to unfold, you can plant new causes, intentional thoughts, disciplined behavior, and wise conditions, and thereby cultivate different results. I want to use the same image as I did earlier with the mirror. You have to smile first. You are at cause. So how do we use the principle of cause and effect? Take accountability for your reality. In fact, take radical accountability. Become a deliberate cause in an intentional chain rather than just living the passive effect of past causes. To achieve a specific result in your life, you must strategically set the exact causes in motion that will produce that effect. And of course, we know that we do not control everything. But if you have done your part, you know, there's an Arabic saying, trust in God, but tie the camels. When you have tied the camels, you have done everything to make sure that they are safe, that your intended outcome will happen. And if it doesn't, there's a bigger plan behind it. So finally, Mariette, we get to the principle of gender. And the Kybalion says, gender is in everything. Everything has its masculine and feminine principles. This is not about biological gender. It's about energy. In Hermetic teaching, gender refers to two complementary creative principles that operate throughout all planes of existence, physical, mental, and spiritual. Every act of becoming, every creative event arises from a dynamic interplay between an initiating, projective, activating principle, which is masculine, and a receptive, formative, nurturing principle, which is the feminine energy. These are universal modalities of energy and function. The one seeds, directs, or gives impulse. The other attracts, shapes, and brings the seed to form. Neither is superior. Both are necessary. And in every living thing, both principles are present in varying proportions. On the mental plane, thought often plays the part of the masculine principle, an idea, an intention, or an impulse that initiates. The feminine aspect is the receptive mind that holds, develops, and eventually manifests that idea into a concrete pattern. On the physical plane, the pattern is repeated. If you think of a building, a builder's plan is the masculine principle. And the materials and techniques that accept and realize the plan is the feminine principle. On the spiritual plane, the masculine principle might be the inner will or creative logos. The feminine is the matrix or the substance that receives and becomes. Creation is never one-sided. Without impulse, there's no origin. And without receptive form, there's no manifestation. So without masculine, there's no origin. Nothing starts without the masculine principle. And without the feminine principle, nothing comes to fruition. So how do we use this principle of gender? True creation and success requires a harmonic balance of both your masculine action-oriented and your feminine receptive creative energies. Mariette, we live in a very masculine energy oriented world. We want to do and push and create. But if we do not stand still, if we do not become silent, if we do not give our parasympathetic nervous system a chance to dominate, nothing happens. And that is why so many people, and I count myself in there, there was a time when I was so focused on the doing and the doing, and nothing happened. And I got so frustrated. I always used to talk of this pipeline. All these possibilities felt like they were stuck in the pipeline because I was focused on doing instead of being. We are human beings, not human doings. And we have to allow the feminine aspect to create, to nurture, to manifest.
Sure. I must say, at every point, there were phrases that I would like to, you know, to frame and put on the wall. I think I recognized many principles from other work I have been reading, and I love the fact that this concludes with gender, because while you were talking about these principles, I thought they are truly empowering because they show where we can have an effect on our lives. But then, as you said, we are so focused actually on the masculine. And I was grateful to be reminded of the feminine. And I think it's wonderful to think that one can actually relax into this framework, which offers so many insights into the nature of reality. So thank you for unpacking this for us, Liesl.
You're so welcome. That was quite a mouthful. But I believe that when we get more familiar with these seven principles and incorporate them more consciously into our lives, we start taking control of the reins of our own unique expression, our own life, and we can control as much as is within our control, our own destiny.
Thank you, Liesl. I look forward to the editing process and to creating the podcast notes, because it means that I will really be able to re-listen to this and then note down what you have offered today. I forgot to ask at the beginning of our conversation, how did you happen upon these principles?
Mariette, you know the saying, when the pupil is ready, the teacher will come? I, through my studies, through my degree in metaphysics, started looking at how I can be even more at cause in my own life. And I was listening to a podcast about manifesting, because let's face it, we all want to manifest this beautiful, amazing, joyful life. And I was listening to a podcast on manifesting when someone said something about hermeticism, and it was almost like I was prodded with an electric wire. I almost felt a physical sensation going through my body, and I immediately stopped the podcast and I started Googling, what is hermeticism? What is the Kybalion? And the one thing led to another. And when I integrated these teachings, I realized this is not new. Like you said, you've read it before, you've heard it before. But within this framework of the seven principles fitting together and building on each other, it makes a beautiful life absolutely possible.
And it gives one some direction and some points to focus on. I really enjoy the idea of having a framework to go back to. I can imagine that if I am struggling with a problem, I could go and see which of these principles would provide me with some insight into the problem at hand.
Absolutely, Mariette. That is, I wouldn't say the only way to use it, but I think for me, that is the best way to use the seven hermetic principles. Look at where is the glitch and what in me is causing that, because everything starts within. There's that age-old saying, and we are delving into the ancient teachings today, aren't we? But there's that age-old saying that if that which you seek you do not find within, you will never find it without. So everything starts from the inside.
Thank you, Liesl. Where can listeners learn more about your work and follow you?
On the socials, I am on every single social platform, or rather, let me say, I have a profile on every single platform. I am not active on all of them, but luckily we live in this amazing age where if someone sends you a message on any social media platform, you get a little notification in your email inbox. So I'm on all the social media platforms. I'm also, you can get hold of me on my website. You just have to spell my name and surname correctly. And I think that's the biggest challenge because there are so many ways to spell my name. So I'm going to spell it for you. That's L-I-E-Z-L, then T for tomato, H-O-M for Mary, LieselTom.com. And that's how you can get hold of me. I'm not going to give my phone number out. I get way too many robot calls in any case. Mm. So if you want to get hold of me, I'm out there.
Thank you, Liesl. And then it's time for a fun question. Are you ready?
Oh, my goodness. I was hoping you'd forget because you you always tie me in knots with this one. Go for it, Mariette.
And you always rise to the occasion. I found it very interesting that you mentioned bravery because here's the question I had ready for you. One of the many hats you wear is that of an investigative journalist. And you once said that one of the characteristics an investigative journalist needs is bravery. So, when you look back on history, Liesl, is there a woman who was truly brave that you would love to interview?
Mariette, what a question. And the first word that popped into my head when you mentioned bravery is one of my absolute favorite words, dauntless, which means the same thing. A woman that was brave. You know, there are so many that come to mind because every woman that stands in her feminine energy without apology in this masculine dominated world is already brave in her own right. So give me a moment. Let me just think. I would definitely have loved to interview Queen Elizabeth. I believe she was so much more than we saw. If you think of how old was she when she ascended to the throne, 19? I think she was about 19. But if you think of that young woman trembling, but making an oath to her countrymen that she will serve them for as long as she can, she absolutely kept her word. And I don't think it was easy all the time. I think especially when the Charles, Diana, Camilla disaster struck and when Diana passed, she was under immense attack and she stood firm. And she's not the only woman who was brave. I'm really not saying she's the pinnacle of a brave woman, but she's the first one to come to mind. And I would definitely have loved to interview Her Majesty. And then, of course, Joan of Arc. But, you know, I don't speak French. I'm not sure if her English was good enough. And I'm pretty sure she does not speak Afrikaans. So, Her Majesty, we can communicate.
Liesl, yeah. Thank you. And thank you for this discussion on the rules of engagement. You really have given me a lot to ponder, and I hope I'm going to be able to apply insights from this. Thank you very much.
Maria, thank you for asking me. It is my privilege to share what I have learned with anyone willing to listen.
Yeah, and to those willing to listen, thank you once again for spending time with us. If this episode struck a chord with you, please share it with someone who would be interested in these rules of engagement. Go to my website, www.marietsneeman.co.za, for free podcasts and articles on physical and mental health, romantic relationships, parenting, and navigating life's transitions. To follow me on Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn, just search for Mariette Sneeman Journalist. The weekly podcast series Calm, Clear and Helpful is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and other platforms. It's hosted and produced by me, with original music by Mart-Marie Snyman. Catch you next Tuesday at 9:00.